we'll get to that in a few short minutes. Just want to tell you real quick, I'm going to do my best to dissect this game. I watched it again just a few minutes ago, just to make sure I didn't miss anything that I was going to tell you guys. And I'm going to kind of debut a new segment. A little bit later on, I'm going to give you the Impact Player of the Week, give out my Impact Player of the Week award. And also, I'm calling it the one key move or the one key player that I believe the Jaguars should have on their radar as far as improving this team. And it could be a free agent, it could be a guy on the other team, it could be just a roster spot swap of some kind, maybe somebody moving up, somebody moving down. But we'll get to that here in a few short minutes. But first, I do want to talk about that game in London. Now, we all pretty much know by this point it was 31-17 with the Cowboys pulling out the victory over there. Tony Romo did play, surprised me a little bit, not a whole lot. We know Jerry Jones was going to trot out the show pony to make it look good for the London crowd. You know, don't want the global brand of the Cowboys to take a hit here. You know, Jerry does what he does. I do believe if Shad Khan were to do this, I don't think he would have played him. But, you know, to each their own. You know, nothing we could do about it. A lot of people were thinking this was a blowout. Now, remember my rule always is has to be over 15 before I consider it a blowout. This was only two scores with 14. We're able to pick up some points towards the end as well. We're able to move the ball. Real quickly, I'm just going to go through some of my notes for this, and then we'll go over some of the stats. Just pretty much notes from the whole thing. The D-line was good in a bunch, but not spread out. And what I mean by that is when the three or four guys on our defensive line are either standing real close together, they seem to do real well. If they were spread apart, there was some, I think it was a communication thing. Wembley Stadium is massive. So sound could echo or travel. Sometimes it's hard to hear people beside you. You know, things happen, but that's something we can work on. The D-line overall I thought did pretty well. Bortles seemed a little excited, and I'll get a little more into this as I get on down through my notes. It was a nice first drive, one of the better first drives of the year, I believe. Denard had the run touchdown. Denard, to me, has been fantastic since taking over the starting role. As far as I'm concerned, it's his until proven otherwise. Everybody else are good complimentary pieces to what Denard's doing right now. Dallas liked to chip away short. They weren't able to do a lot of big plays or long plays, and when they did, it wasn't really bombs down the field, which is their forte typically. They were able to maybe do bubble screens and passes out to the flats, little chunks over the middle of the field, just little small things. They just kept chipping away, no real big plays. You know, which brought me to my next note. Jaguars weren't getting beat deep often. There's other teams out there, as I like to bring up the Falcons, because they are also one of the teams Impact Media talks about each week. You know, the Falcons, they can't stop anybody, especially going deep like that. So I like that the Jaguars' safeties and corners are able to pretty much keep the big play from happening a lot. Now, you're always going to give up one or two. It's going to happen. Just minimizing those opportunities, and I think they did a good job there. You know, Ace Sanders with the return blunder in the first, it ended up turning into a Dallas touchdown by Witten. You know, that kind of things happen. Ace has been so reliable, especially doing all the kicks and everything. So, you know, yeah, I hate that it turned into points for the other team, but at the same time, Ace, we're good, man. I'm not, you know, you've already been accountable for that particular thing. As far as I'm concerned, let's move on. Penalties in general, there weren't a whole lot, but just a couple ill-timed ones that kind of set up some good Dallas plays. There were some Dallas ones as well that helped the Jaguars. So, I mean, it was pretty even as far as that sort of thing. The run defense was good. They weren't great, but they weren't awful. So, you know, right there in between, I think they were, you know, I'd say 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10-ish. They were approaching 8, probably 7.5 out of 10 I would give them. They're much improved at stopping the run. Early on in the season, anybody in the world could have ran past them. They're doing quite good. I do believe it has a lot to do with that bunch formation up front, like I'm talking about. fact that Jeremy Mincy was able to get the sack against us, and you know, he used to play for us, and wish him the best in Dallas, and hope everything turns out pretty well for him. Hated that he got it against Bortles, but you know what? Mincy's a good guy, so, you know, it happens. I did notice that the defense needed to tackle a little better downfield. There was a few, you know, a few times when you just got to wrap people up instead of going for the big hit or the strip or anything like that. You know, but for the most part, there wasn't a lot of downfield times when you would need to actually tackle like that. So, you know, once again, it goes back to the safeties and even the linebackers keeping the big plays from happening. Shorts had that big catch before halftime. In the run down the sideline, he is borderline close to breaking out, which is awesome. Not that he wasn't already great, we already know that, but it's with, you know, Allen Robinson's been doing well, Allen Hurns has been doing well. He actually took that hit. I hope, as far as I know, Hurns is going to be okay. You know, do have a bye week this week, so I think he'll be okay. But with all the breakouts of all the other guys, Shorts, it kind of got lost in the mix a little bit. It was good to have Cecil back and doing pretty well. Denard had the fumble before halftime. Once again, Denard's done so much over the top and exceeding expectations just in the past few games that, you know, I'm okay with one here or there. I don't think this is going to be a regular thing. It really hasn't been. So, you know, just like I said with Ace, Denard, as far as I'm concerned, we're good. We're just going to dust that one off. We're going to keep going. The Jags fumble recovery before halftime. That was a heads up play. That was really cool. That shows that they're aware and they're paying attention. And I mean, that's what you want. Anytime the ball's on the ground, you want to make sure all 11 guys are just trying to do everything they can to get that ball, whether you're on offense or defense. You know, Dez Bryant had two touchdowns in the first half, including the big one right before halftime. Once again, it's Dez Bryant. He's arguably a top three, top five wide receiver in the league. The Jaguars have four or five potential top fives in the next couple years that are on their team now. So, you know, Dez is going to get his yards. He ended up getting the two touchdowns here. He's a good player. He was able to break a few tackles and get in the end zone both times. You know, more power to Dez, and glad he's out of town. The O-line was a lot better, but, you know, they were still getting beaten a little bit and pushed back a little more than I would like, and I know a little more than Gus and Blake would like. Because the weird thing to me was they were getting beat, and it was mostly a four-man rush from Dallas, which means they weren't really rushing the quarterback all that. I mean, they weren't really blitzing all that much. They were a couple times, but for the most part, they were rushing four and dropping the other seven to try to help cover all the great receivers. You know, I feel like the O-line is getting better. Luke Jokel is not a bust. I don't know where people are getting that. To me, he's just starting to get his feet under him. He had those injuries that kept him out a lot. He used to play on a line with Jake Matthews, who's now in Atlanta. There's a couple other guys. I do think probably, if possible, one of the top five draft picks this year is also a Texas A&M offensive lineman. Go check him out. He's pretty good. But, you know, Jokel's doing everything he can to get back and get to where he was. I think he's doing a lot better. He's much improved. I like the way he plays. So, you know, we'll let that go on and play out the way it needs to. You know, as I said, with Bortles being a little geeked up, a little excited, it happens. It is his rookie year. He is in a different country in a big stadium. That is a massive stadium that usually sells out for English Premier League teams, which is soccer. We all know about soccer. But he seemed to rush some throws at times. Blake, you just need to just relax a little bit. I know sometimes you're going to have people in your face and that kind of thing. I understand, but for the most part, we'll work on the offensive line problems so that when we shore that up, Blakey should be fine. You should be able to sit back there, make a throw, or scramble out a little bit and make some other plays. To me, I think he did a good job doing that. He was able to get outside the pocket, run a few times, get outside the pocket, throw across his body, throw back across the field. He was making Roethlisberger-style plays, and if that's who everybody's going to compare him to me, that's a great comparison. I like very much the way he plays, both of them. And, you know, Bortles is definitely ahead of the schedule as far as where I thought he would be at this point. According to the coaching staff, we didn't even think, or they didn't even say he was going to play this year. And then all of a sudden, here he is playing. So, you know, it is what it is. I think one of the other notes I had here, the offensive line was not holding the defense back. I don't mean like holding like a penalty. They weren't able to keep them pushed back for very long at all. I think Blake was averaging about 2.8 seconds to throw. And a lot of times some of these routes, that's not long enough for one of them to break into the route, to curl back or to slant or the go routes or any of those kinds of things. So that's something to work on during the offense. But I thought overall that the team did well. Romo only threw 27 times, 20 completions, 246 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That's almost a down week for Romo. There was one sack, I believe, on Romo, which was quite nice. It was, I believe it was March that had that one. So kudos to that guy, and a big high five for Mr. Marks on that one. They were able to sling Whedon around a good bit, or a little bit. Didn't matter because of where the score was at that point. Bortles, 22 for 37. Remember I said I don't want him throwing more than 40 times, really. 22 for 37, I'm good with. 290 yards, almost 300. I'm good with that as well. No touchdowns. We're working on that one. He's still trying to get the play call under him, and like I said, he was rushed a lot. He did throw the one interception. Once again, good there. Did get sacked 4 times. You know, it's going to happen. Dallas' defense has actually stepped up and been doing quite well this year. As far as rushing, DeMarco Murray did break 100 yards, and Randall had 56. That's, you know, I think they had about 150 combined between everybody that ran. Denard was able to get 60, and he was able to get in the end zone twice. I like the 2 touchdowns better than the yardage. Don't think you have to have 150 every week, Denard. I think you're doing well. Todd was able to get a couple touches. Bortles with a couple runs in Gerhardt and goal line situations. You know, for the most part, I like where everything's at as far as the rushing. They could use a little bit on the back end, but for the most part, they're all such change of pace from everybody, from all the rest of them, that, you know, it works out pretty well. As far as receiving, you know, Dez had the big day, 2 touchdowns with 158 yards. That kind of stuff happens. You know, Witten was limited to only 33 yards, but he did catch the touchdown. You know, Cecil Shorts, 119 yards. Allen Robinson with the 60. I told you, this guy is a tremendous route runner. And he's one of my favorites to watch for sure out of Penn State. You know, Clay Harper was in on it. Todman had a couple catches. There was a lot of people that had 2 or 3, 4 catches as we go on down the list. Hearns only had the 1, and I believe he was... you know, it didn't, I think it kind of rattled him a little bit. But like I said, I think he's going to be okay. All reports that I've heard up to this point was that everything's, you know, doing well and on par. Like I said, 31 to 17, I can deal with. Because you can see this team change a little bit and change for the better. You can tell that that the Jaguars as a team, it's not only that, man, we're losing, we need to stop losing. It's like, no, they're starting to do everything to turn it around. Just like about this time last year, when you saw everything start to gel and everybody play as one consistent unit, it's getting there. It's very, very close. And you know, maybe they've finally been pushed to a point where it's just, I mean, they could come out and go 500 for the rest of the year and go 4-4. They could win all 8 games. Who knows? Or all 7 games at this point. I feel like they could easily win a couple games, 3-4 games in before the end of the year. You know, Gus Bradley's going to continue to push them and push them now, kind of an urgency thing. And we can't blame Bortles for all this. Even though there's some things he still needs to improve on, I went over some of them, you know, not rushing throws, not getting a little excited, and sometimes knowing when to step out of the pocket, when to stay in there. You know, there's some special teams issues. A lot of teams have those, but, you know, ours are fixable. You know, Ace is not going to fumble all the time. I'm confident in that. The coverage, to me, could be a little better, but that just comes with time, and you got to keep in mind that a special teams squad is usually a bunch of rookies and second and third year guys that are third on the depth chart somewhere else or second on the depth chart. You try to find guys. You try to find guys that can play multiple positions so that you can do that. Use them in many different places. The Jags are starting to, not turn the ball over as much. They're slowly turning the tide in that one. I like where Denard Robinson's going at this point. I feel like he's going to finish the year with, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say he's probably going to have at least 750 to 800 yards before the end of the year rushing. And, you know, the offense not doing three and out so that the defense is able to catch a breather here and there. Because this defense is pretty good. It's going to be better and keep getting better and better. Like I said, you know, Dez Bryant is Dez Bryant. He's going to get his yards most of the time. It's very hard to shut him down for a night. And if you do, usually somebody else is there to pick up the slack. I felt like we did a good job, even though he had some big yardage and 2 touchdowns. But, you know, Tony Romo's got him humming right now, and he's got some good weapons. So we knew they were going to score points. We weren't able to score more than they did. So the good thing is they seem to have a good time in London. I mean, I've never been to London. I'd be excited to go. Maybe the next couple of years, a couple of us can make that trip and help cheer them on and everything, because the Jags have a huge presence over there. The Union Jags, I believe, or something like that, is the name of the group over there. And I know Bold City has a squad over there. But the Jaguars are gonna play the Bills next year over there. Based off where the Bills are at this point, that one should be a great one. The opening drive, like I said, was great. The fact that you're down 3-0 and you're still able to step up and make a great play and make another great play and then make another great play, and before you know it, you're in the end zone, it's 7-3. And just right before halftime, I don't know if they were thinking about, yeah, we're doing good, let's go into halftime like this, but it was a couple times there were some things that just slipped through that maybe you didn't need to through. You know, things happen. You can't give up on on the game. And I'm not saying they gave up. You can't sleep on that particular fact. That, you know, we're close to halftime, nothing real big's going to happen, because that's when they're going to sneak up and beat you. There is a bye week this week, as I said, and then the following week, the Jags into Indianapolis to go against the Colts. 1 o'clock game. Still many tickets available for that one. That one should be a pretty good battle because the Colts have kind of been kind of wishy-washy here lately, and I very much think that they could beat them. And on next week's show, I'll give you the keys to victory as far as that, because you know that's what I do every week. I give you the, in my opinion, what the Jaguars can do to beat any whichever team they're playing on that given Sunday. That potential is always there. If the best team won every week, you know, the best team on paper, if they won every week, there'd be no reason to watch the games. We watch the games because anybody can win on any given Sunday. And that includes the Jaguars, the Raiders, that includes any team. I mean, look what the Jets did this week. They shut down Ben Roethlisberger. It's possible. It's not one of those such far-fetched things that there's a 1 in a billion shot. No. That's why we watch. That's why Duvall and everybody is there every week, cheering on everybody. As I said, the November 23rd game against Indianapolis, that is 1 o'clock start on CBS. I don't know locally what it's going to be. I don't have it in front of me, but as soon as I get that information, I will pass that on to you guys. That brings me to the Impact Player of the Week. This is a new thing I'm going to do, at least till the end of the season. It's where I give you kind of my MVP for the week. And in the inaugural one, I do believe I'm going to give it to... I think I'm going to give it to Denard Robinson because he had that great run in the first opening drive. And I really liked what he did this week. In watching the game again a few minutes ago, right before I came on here, every time he ran the ball, he ran with purpose. He never stuttered, didn't take any steps backwards. He was always running forward, trying to get the most out of every run he did. He was able to chip block, something that is hard to do depending on, remember, he was a quarterback not very long ago whatsoever back at Michigan. So, you know, Denard, congratulations. You are the Impact Player of the Week for Jaguar Zone this week. Maybe we can get an award out to you. It'd be really cool. And it brings me to the last order of business, so to say. My one key move or one key player. Now, this is where, like I said, this is one roster move or one player out there somewhere that I feel could make this team better. And I'll just get right to it. The one key player, or the one key move I see, is bringing in Josh Freeman. Yep, that guy from Tampa Bay. Now, I think he's currently a free agent because he was with Minnesota. I believe they may have let him go. Or he still could be on the roster. I'm not quite sure. I haven't heard anything about it. But the reason I say Josh Freeman would be a good addition is he's not really a threat to take over Bortles' starting position. But he adds great experience and depth because, you know, a lot of you guys aren't big Chad Henne fans. Understood. We saw what Henne could do as far as this year. He's still a great mentor, so even if you put Freeman as second, it gives you depth. In case, you know, knock on wood, I don't want anything to happen to Bortles, but in case something does happen, or for certain packages, you could actually line Freeman up in an odd scenario and have Bortles throwing the ball because he's very athletic. But I feel that Josh Freeman could definitely step in and add some much-needed depth to the quarterback position. And, you know, whatever you guys think, what do you guys think about my Impact Player of the Week, or what do you think about adding a Josh Freeman or something like that? Is there somebody you would rather add? If you can, you know, hit us up on any of the posts on Facebook or at 3endzone on Twitter, at the Impact 99 if you want to directly speak to me about it. I will happily we'll sit here and debate it if there's somebody you think we should add instead. But that's going to do it for me this week. Hope you guys enjoyed Jaguar Zone this week. I always have a blast doing it. But thanks to Impact Media for letting me do this, and End Zone as well. Jeremy the Impact York. We'll see you guys next week.